drove a good part of the United States? Raise your hand. How many of you know you have a lot of time on your hands? You can listen to a lot of things on the radio, can't you? And y'all know I've made a commitment to listening to more Christian music, and every day that commitment gets less and less fervent, because we did listen to a lot of Christian music. We did listen to a lot of baseball games, things like that. But in listening to Christian music, I've come up with something that I believe is the fundamental thing that's missing or wrong in the evangelical church. Now, I wish I didn't have to be the one to always bring up stuff that's wrong, but I want to see people set free, and I want to see me set free. Me and people, I want to see us set free. But in listening to all the Christian music, and some of it is glorious, just like that song we just sang, and we have to learn how to get along with these folks. Miss Anna Michelle Browning, coming in from Gilbert, Arizona, who's one of my evangelists up there that understands the difference between real Bible faith and counterfeit faith. But somehow or another, we've got to be able to get along enough to be able to fellowship with people to get them some good information. Because I'm telling you, folks, less than 1% of the Christian population understands what I'm going to put up on the screen now. And it was actually spoken by one of the mothers here today, Miss Teresa Browning. She actually spoke it while I was doing a Zoom service with James Taylor at the cabin. She actually brought this phrase up, and when she did, I knew I had to write it down. So here's the phrase. And if you're listening by radio this morning, welcome aboard. And if you're going to listen to this on the internet, welcome aboard. Here's what the phrase is. Blindly thinking that whatever is going on in your life is part of some plan that God has for you is not Bible faith. I know I got amens in here, and I appreciate the amens, but I'm telling you that less than 1% of the Christian population understands what we're talking about, because virtually 50% of every songs are talking about the fact that God's got a plan for the people's lives, and part of that plan is bad or good or indifferent, but whatever it is, it's all God. It's none of me, it's all of God. And that's wrong. The great Kenneth E. Hagin, the father of the faith movement, said some words that I'll never forget that have been implanted in my heart and emblazoned in my heart, and it's this. There is a Godward side, and there is a manward side. If it was all up to God, we'd all be saved, we'd all be healed, we'd all be happy. It just blows people's circuits. But if it was up to God, everybody would be free. There'd be no wars. There'd be no lying. There'd be no curse. But it's not all up to God. It has to work through people. And people aren't God. I know I'm not. Can you say amen or oh me? This is the thinking. This is intertwined and it's subtle. Teresa said it to me on the way home. It's so subtle because it sounds okay. Blindly thinking that whatever is going on in your life is part of some plan that God has for you is not Bible faith, and that's going on my Facebook page today. Just in case anybody missed me. And most people will read it, they won't understand it, they won't think about it, they won't think it through, because we've been captured by doctrines of devils and demons. Amen. I spent one whole day just wrapping myself around some Bible teachings with Andrew Womack, and he knows all this stuff so well. And the difference between him and me is he lives it. He lives it 100%. He lives it 100%. But I know what he's talking about, and since I know what he's talking about, I feel obligated to tell other people what he's talking about, because not only do I know that he knows what he's talking about, but I know that God revealed the same thing to me through the Bible. Because what happens, the only people that get it are the people that have taken the necessary time to get into the new covenant, which is not Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's the book of Romans to Jude that tells you who God is and tells you what God did for you. And he didn't make you sick. He didn't make you broke. He didn't make you depressed. He gave us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So I'll show it to you with this Bible lesson. Biblical solutions to the five problems that are common to man. I'll show it to you what I'm talking about. Let's put that phrase back up. It's so good. Would y'all mind saying that out loud? Would you mind saying it? Let's do it. And let's thank Teresa for coming up with it. Welcome to the party. Did anybody ever see the movie Die Hard? In my opinion, the greatest action movie ever. You know, here's the fascinating thing. I'm going to show you a little something. When I ask people, have you seen the movie Die Hard? Raise your hand if you've seen the movie Die Hard. Oh, Keith, you have not?
No, I used to.
You're not a man. Yes, you are. Don't be thinking any other thing. You are a man. How many people seen the movie Die Hard? Look at all the hands in them. Greatest action movie ever made. Anyway, Bruce Willis ends up rescuing all these people out of this big building. These thieves come in to rob it. And he can't get the police to help him. You know, so he ends up throwing, he killed one of the guys. And the cops had come to check it out. And they didn't think there was anything going on. First of all, he was scared. And so he got back in his cruiser. Remember that? And when he got back in his cruiser, Bruce Willis realized that he was going to drive away. So he took this dead body that he'd already killed, and he threw him out the window, and he landed on that cop's cruiser. And he said, "Welcome to the party, pal." Welcome to the party. So maybe you have seen it.
I take it back. I'm just thinking of the
Gladiator. Okay. Well, that might make you even less of a man. Are you not entertained? Welcome to the party. Help me. All of us that have some understanding of this, let's stay connected to the body of Christ. Let's don't disconnect. Let's stay connected, but let's try our best to get people to understand that this is not the way it really is. This is not how it works. This is not who God is. God is not doing bad things to you. God never wanted bad things to happen to you. There's a Godward side and there's a manward side. God has done his part. Say that with me. God has done his part. And that's part of the problem. The church don't know what part God did because they're not in the book. They're watching Die Hard and Gladiator. And I'd be one of them. I've watched every one of those blasted Phoenix Suns basketball games and threw things at the TV in hotel rooms where it didn't matter. I didn't have to pick stuff up. Say it with me. Blindly thinking that whatever is going on in your life is part of some plan that God has for you is not Bible faith. Miss Anna, you won't mind if I pick on you a little bit out of love. My sweet girl here has run into people that try to put on her counterfeit faith, and she'll have no part of it. Now, the thing I regret is she thinks that the only person that knows anything is her daddy. Now, I don't regret it that much, but, well, she also thinks her mom made the moon and hung it up, which that's what I want all of y'all to think about your mamas. And everybody in here deserves that, right? But anyway, she knows and she can smell counterfeit faith. And so she'll talk to me and ask me about it. And I say, Anna, all I know to do and all I can tell you to do is offer them the Bible lessons. Tell them to go on the website. So a couple of the guys did. One of the guys that's really interested in her proved his love for her by listening to me teach. My opinion of him has gone way up. I mean, you know. I mean, come on now. But anyway, once you know, once you understand, we're all in this room together. Once you understand what I'm talking about, Donnie, you can't go back, can you? But how much difficulty do you have getting people to understand it? You guys are the evangelist at Mandalay Restaurant, and none of them want to receive anything you say. And you've had people come here and they listen to me talk, and then ultimately it comes back to the fact that they don't want to have to take responsibility. And again, I'm hoping that everybody, my old new crew's back, and I'm hoping that y'all can see that I'm way more humble than I used to be, and that I'm admitting in front of everybody that I am by no means perfect, but I'm not going to fall back on anything that goes on in my life as part of some plan God has for me, and he's putting me through something so that somehow or another I'll come out better on the other side. Doesn't work that way. See, God's word is God's plan. God's word is God's plan. And you hear this all the time, and even Andrew Womack says it, and I wish he would explain it better. You hear this all the time. God's got a plan for your life. Well, if you don't understand what that means, then you think, well, then everything that's gone on was some plan God had for me. I'm blindly thinking that whatever's been going on, God had a plan for me, and I'll just trust in that. And that's not Bible faith. That's not putting your shield up. That's not resisting the devil. I don't know if I want to go any further. Therese, this was prophetic. You are my hero. I can't say it any better. So let's incorporate biblical solutions to the five problems that are common to man with this phrase. And let's start out with the first problem that everybody has to deal with is money. Well, there's a Bible way to get money. You know what the Bible way is to get money? Number one, work. Now, if you're retired, God bless you. Thank you for your service. And if you're getting a good Social Security check and a good pension, that's fine. But you probably still need to be doing something. Mow the grass at somewhere or, you know, anyway. But the Bible has a way for us to get access to money, and that's by working. 1 Thessalonians 4:11 and 12, Godward side, manward side. Godward side, manward side. If what I'm doing isn't backed up with God's word, then it's not his plan for me. That you also aspire to lead a quiet life, listen to this, to mind your own business. Boy, that's hard to do. Amen. And to work with your own hands as we commanded you. So what's God's plan? What's his plan? His plan is for me to lead a quiet life. My neighbors ought to know I'm around, but they ought to know I'm around quietly. I should mind my own business, right? That's what God's plan is for me. Are you tracking? And then I'm to work with my hands. And if I'm doing those three things, I'm in God's plan. If I'm not doing those three things, I'm outside of his plan. And don't put him in that plan. Don't make him part of something that he don't have anything to do with. He's perfect. He's love. I mean, how can you go around and tell people God is love and then tell them that God put that cancer on you? You got tuberculosis because God's trying to teach you something. You're depressed and sorrowful and angry and lustful because, you know, God's got a plan. No, that's not the plan in the Word of God. The plan in the Word of God is that you live in peace with all people. It makes so much sense that you can't get people to listen to it because it's just not mystical enough for people. Can I get an amen? It's just not mystical enough for people. There's got to be more to it, Mark. There has to be a reason why I'm sick. There has to be a reason why I'm broke. There has to be a reason why I'm depressed. There is, but it's not God. That's not his plan. His word is his plan. If I do those things, I'll walk properly towards those who are outside, and I may lack nothing. If I do what? If I work. There's another passage. I don't have time to turn there, but Paul told them in 2 Thessalonians 3:12 that if a man does not work, neither shall he eat. So that's one thing about money. You got to work for it. And then the second thing about money is you have to give some of it away. If you want to be in God's plan. If you want to be stingy and greedy and never put anything in the bucket. By the way, if you never put anything in the bucket, you don't get the blessing of anything here. The anointing follows you if you put some money in the offering basket. That's how you partner with somebody biblically, is by helping them out financially. So everything that Andrew Womack's doing, we're a part of it. Praise God, I'm a part of what Billy Graham's doing. I mean, his son Franklin. I'm a part of it. But if you don't give, you're outside of God's plan. How do I know that? Luke 6:38. Give, listen, give and it will be given to you. Say that, everybody.
Give and it will be given to you.
It's a kingdom law. It's how it works in the kingdom of God. If you want joy, you got to give joy. If you want love, you got to give love. You reap what you sow. See, there's cause and effect. There's a Godward side, there's a manward side. You reap what you sow. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. That verse in Galatians is talking about giving. We probably need to go over there. That's talking about giving. You reap what you sow. He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Look in your heart, look in your actions, determine what it is you're sowing. I don't like what I'm sowing most of the time these days. I don't like it. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. The path to prosperity is working and giving. Giving and working. Let me put that verse up. Galatians 6. Let me show you this. Verse 6. Starts at verse 6. I want to show this to you because it's a giving verse. People miss it because of the translation. The way this translation is given, it, you miss what he's talking about. It says, let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. I think the old King James even says communicate. Like, you know, come up to him and say, oh, I'm glad you talk good. No, a better translation, Amplified, there's translations out there. It says, let him who is taught the word give to the person that's teaching you. You should support the person that's teaching you the Bible financially. Now again, if we did this regularly and consistently and properly, then Bible teachers wouldn't have to have secular jobs. Don't shout me down now. Now God's blessed us and blessed me abundantly, but that's the way it's supposed to work. But Christians are stingy. Not this group. We do pretty darn good. Amen. There are some stingy people here that don't put any money in the offering basket, but that's on you. You're only hurting yourself. You're not hurting me. You're hurting yourself. It says, let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Verse 7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Verse 8, for he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. That's all talking about money. Giving away some of your resources to be a blessing to others. Cause and effect. There's a Godward side, there's a manward side. If you're broke, it's not God's fault. Amen. Now, again, there's always some things underneath that need to be discussed and talked about, and you can't do it in a 50-minute Bible lesson. And there may be a situation where you go to work and you get laid off. I mean, in the country that we're in now, being led by the leadership we're being led now, it's no telling how bad things could get for some people. But you still use the principles of God to figure out how to survive. You may have to take a lesser-paying job at some point, but you're still working. And with the money you receive, you still give. Easier said than done. And sometimes I'm a hypocrite for talking about it, but I have to tell you because I know how it works. Can I get an amen? So is it God's will for people to be broke? Is that part of his plan? Am I blindly to think, well, you know, I'm just this way because, you know, I'm going to learn from poverty. What you're going to learn is it's no fun. Number two is fear. Is it God's will for me to be afraid, to be fearful? Classic verse, one of the verses I'm quoting over and over and over in my life right now, 2 Timothy 1:7. Remember, there's a Godward side and there's a manward side. Where does real Bible faith kick in? I can use this verse to teach you. The Godward side is this: for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Say that out loud, everybody, right now. Say it. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. What'd God do? What's the Bible reveal that God did? He gave us a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. That's what God did. How do I make that work for me? Hebrews 4:2. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard, did y'all just hear the word? What'd y'all hear from the word? That God gave you what? Spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. God did his part. There's a Godward side. We got to do our part. But the word which they heard did not profit them. Why not? Not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. How do I make 2 Timothy 1:7 work for me? I have to believe it. I have to mix my faith with it. I have to act like, even though I may be afraid, even though my emotions may tell me I'm afraid, I have to walk by faith and not by sight. That's real Bible faith. Go back to the phrase. Let me show you the difference. Here's how counterfeit faith works. Blindly thinking that whatever is going on in my life is part of some plan that God has for me is not Bible faith. Here's what's going on. Here's what they will tell you. I'm afraid, and that must be the way God wants me. No, God's word is his will. God's word is his plan. God's word hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. You have to have the courage. You have to have this determination. And you have to have the revelation knowledge. You have to have the revelation knowledge that God's not wanting you to be afraid. The fearful and the unbelieving have their part in the lake of fire that burns forever and ever. God takes no pleasure in people who are scared. That's the difference. You see the difference? See, they don't separate what God doesn't do, and they try to make God do what he doesn't do. And it's so subtle, and people sing it, and people buy the records, and people go to the concerts, and preachers come up behind them and preach it. And there's churches in Gilbert and Phoenix that are packed, and thank God for the message of grace. But don't just leave people there at the grace table. Show them how to release their faith to what God has given you by grace, which is a sound mind, which is love. Amen? Somebody said, now let me ask you a question. Here we go. Am I being a little hard? Can I take it down a notch? Maybe if I sit down. Is it easy? Is this easy? Is this an easy way to live? No. But are there rewards at the end of it? Can you actually see that God will back you up when you do what he says and not what the devil says? A great peace and calm has come over me since I've sat down here. But I don't know if I like that. Blindly thinking that whatever is going on in your life is part of some plan that God has for you is not Bible faith. Everybody see that? What about relationships? What's God's will relative to relationships? Well, first of all, I want to congratulate all you moms on this Mother's Day. I know how much my two children, that their mother is Therese, I know how much they love her and appreciate her. I know how much they tolerate me, and I understand that. But it's a wonderful thing. I see all you guys out here. I see that your moms have left a heritage for you, and that's why I guarantee that's why Donnie Federico's in church today, because of his mama. Amen. Now, there's another side to that. There's some people that aren't in church today because of their mama. That's why everybody just is so excited about me getting the opportunity to teach. Because I'm pretty much going to tell people a lot of stuff. My mama led me to the Lord. She's the reason why I heard the gospel. But for about 20 years, she was the greatest enemy to our family than anybody. She caused more strife and more discouragement because she backed away from the gospel. So Jesus even said your worst enemies could be those in your own household. But thank God if you had a mom that raised you and taught you and blessed you. And in a general, overall biblical scheme, the Bible teaches that we are to honor our father and our mother regardless if they're Christian. Amen. Just honor them anyway. Amen. I mean, we weren't saved people. We weren't born again people till I was 19 years of age. But I think about how many times my mom stayed up with me all night. I remember one time I was playing Prisoner's Block. Anybody ever play Prisoner's Block? You go out, and then they have to come capture you, and they put you in a block. They put you in a prison. And then somebody can come in and run in and free you out of the block. Ollie, ollie in, come, and they get you free. Anyway, I was out. Well, I did it more to be with the girls than to be a Prisoner's Block. But I remember I was out playing that one day, and I stepped on a nail. And that nail went all the way through my foot. And I remember my mom stayed up with me all night because back the doctor wouldn't come to take care of me. And she sat there with me all night while my foot was throbbing. Amen. How many of you can relate to that? Your mom did something for you like that. Amen. Praise the Lord. And that's part of what's going on in our country. We're losing the uniqueness of the family, the mom and the dad, Warden June Cleaver. Let's make sure everybody knows I'm not racist. Bill, and what was Bill Cosby's wife on the Cosby Show? Claire. And what are the Huxtables? That was the number one show in America, by the way. How racist can we be if every night, on Thursday night, everybody stopped what they were doing to watch the Cosby Show? Now, we're not going to talk about Bill now. Don't misunderstand. Bill's like a lot of us. Bill wasn't exactly what he appeared to be, but on the show, it was a unit. It was a unit of family, just like Warden June Cleaver, Bill and Clara Huxtable. We're missing that. That's why the deterioration of our society is because people don't get raised right. Can I get an amen? But relationships. Well, what's God's will in regard to relationships? James 3:16. James 3:16. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. So is it the will of God for you to be envious? The answer to these are no. Is it the will of God for you to be envious? No. To be self-seeking? If you are envious and you're self-seeking, does that create evil? Is that part of some plan God has for you? No. No. Listen to this. Let me see if I can find one that'll sum it all up. Philippians 2:3-4. Philippians 2:3-4. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. But now, and think about this. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Is that God's will? Is that God's word? Is that God's plan? How many of us do that? Now, come on. Please don't let me, don't call, I don't want to have to call anybody out. How many of us do that? In lowliness of mind, do we esteem others better than ourselves? Oh, my gosh. I want to teach this further. I want to develop this further. I want to tell you why this has become so hard for us to recognize this. Let's be honest. I'll be honest. Can I be honest? I look at these verses sometimes, and I think there's just no possible way I can do this. I can't do it. There's too many dumb people. I'm trying to be honest. I'm like, I mean, what? Esteem others better than myself? That stupid guy? That's stupid gone to stupid. Stupid squared. I'll tell you, I'm going to come back to why that's so difficult. Because we've lost contact with who we are. Not only do we not know who God is, we don't know who we are. The mirror of who we are is presented to us in the new covenant. Romans through Jude. You're not going to find out who you are by reading Leviticus. You're going to find out what you ain't. You're going to find out who you are by reading what God told you you are through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the reason why these verses are so hard, the reason why they seem like they can't be overcome, is because we're more connected to the world than we are to the things of God. Now, the man that taught me on the during my vacation, I'm telling you right now, he sold out for God, and he can present this stuff with much more clarity. But I have to present it anyway, and what I'm willing to do is put myself in here with all of us and tell you I struggle with that. But I'll tell you one thing. I do struggle with it, but you'll never hear me say, well, that's just because that's how God wants it. He wanted me to have strife in my family so that somewhere down the line that strife would just cause people to somehow or another, you know, work things out for His good. The most misquoted, misunderstood Bible verse in the Bible, all things that work together for good are all the good things God did for you. That's what works out for good. All the good things God did for you, not all the bad things the devil's doing to you. Anna ran, ran across a guy, and that's his foundational verse. He's standing his whole life on that. Again, blindly thinking that everything will work out for my good because my girlfriend broke up with me. Why'd your girlfriend break up with you? Were you selfish? Were you self-centered? Did you not bathe enough? When you went out to eat, did you go Dutch? That'll run women off pretty quick. Won't it, Anna? Didn't you have to teach one of the gentlemen? If you're going to take me out to eat, you better pick the check up. If not, I'll call my daddy. I hope I'm making sense here. So if I don't do these things, it's not God doing it to me. I'm doing it to myself. Let me give you another one. Look at Proverbs 15:1. I had a little something happen on the trip. You know, when you get in a room with people, you're going to have all kinds of personalities, right? Husbands and wives, are y'all's personalities exactly alike? No. No, there's some things you got to work out. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. So that's God's will. That's God's word. That's God's plan. God has a plan for me. What's that plan? He wants me to quench anger and wrath by speaking soft and kind words back to people that are saying mean things to me. Somebody said, well, I'm not doing that. I've done that before too. How many of you have done that? I know I'm supposed to, but I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to give him what for. You know what ends up happening? By giving him what for, you end up somehow or another, your emotions get all out of whack. There's a price to pay for not obeying God. Amen. There's a price to pay for it. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. I saw this work, and I already shared that, but we ran into a little situation over a card game in Kentucky. And I didn't give a soft answer, but at least I turned away from the wrath. I just went to bed. Amen. I wasn't quite to the point where I could give a soft answer because I wanted to get my sister in a chokehold and slap her. But at least I just went to bed and told her, don't ever come back to the lake house. In Jesus' name. I'm trying to get everybody to understand. You see, if I'd have done what God said do, I'd have put an end to that right away. You know, don't worry about it. I don't care if you made a fool of yourself at the card table. We love you anyway. And when somebody says something to you or does something to you that really bothers you, you're placing way too much value on that person. Place more value on what God says. And again, easier said than done. And as I say these things, I got to make sure I tell you, most of the time I'm a hypocrite. Number four, health. Health. Oh, this is a big one. It's a big one. Look at 3 John 1:2. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. Say that out loud with me. Come on. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. So God's will, God's plan, God's desire is for us to be in health and prosper. See? Oh, this is a hard one. A famous minister died, and I'm not going to say his name anymore, but I've heard him say over and over on his TV programs that God will make you sick to teach you lessons in life. And I'll guarantee you, I'm pretty sure he probably went to heaven. But I guarantee you he's bowed his knee at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and apologized for accusing Jesus of having anything to do with sickness and disease. He couldn't stand to be around it. He would not tolerate it. And he looked around at people with anger because they would not understand that he wasn't going to be in a synagogue with a man with a withered arm. Sickness and disease is part of the curse. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, but there's reasons why people are not healthy. I'll give the classic one. Not very often, but somewhat, you know, I talk about the fact that we eat too much as church people. I think it's pretty obvious, right? Generally speaking. Now, there's always somebody that'll mess it up, somebody in real good shape. Leslie, we love you, but come on. Eat a cupcake with us. By God, sin with me. Will you? There's more people in the emergency room at the hospital at Canyon Vista today, and there'll be more people in the doctor's offices tomorrow because of obesity than any other thing. And again, no condemnation. No condemnation. But it's just the facts. It's the truth. God made us fearfully and wonderfully, but we're to control what we put in our bodies, and we're to moderate what goes into our bodies, and we're to exercise, and we're to be to dream the impossible dream. But I said that one Sunday here at church, and I don't talk about it very often. Why would I talk about it that often? In my 26 years of preaching, y'all seen my stomach go this and this and this. And then they come in, and they go, eh, and then I'll say, eh, and then they'll come back, eh, yeah. I just grow my chin, my beard, cover the chin up more, chin. But a lady stood at the end of the service, and she said, I'll never be back here. I won't come to this church ever again. I said, how come? She said, because you make fun of fat people. So you mean to tell me that we're not supposed to tell people what's the reason that they're having problems in their life? I'm just supposed to tell you that everything's okay? You know why? Because they wanted me to tell them that it's because God wanted me this way. Nobody wants to take responsibility. I know I have a hard time with it myself. Adam's the start of it. That woman you gave to be with me. If you hadn't given me that woman that I begged you for the chapter before. I love donkeys and I love giraffes. And I love lions and tigers and bears, but man, give me woman. And then he gives him woman, and what's woman do to him? Destroys him. Takes him over to that tree and says, eat that thing if you want to keep seeing me naked. Al, you're going to clean all this up next week.
I knew that one was coming.
You got it all clean. You got to clean it all up. Can you imagine? She was true. She never did come back. And then death, there is a way to die in God's way. Hebrews 9:27 says it's appointed unto man once to die. Hebrews 9:27. I don't have time to develop these things. Can I come back and do it on June 4th? I want to dig deeper into this and explain to you, you know, why it is difficult. Anybody tells you it's not difficult, lying. Amen? But it really shouldn't be difficult. It really shouldn't. The reason it's difficult is because we won't do what the Bible says. I'm going to stop on this right now because the Lord just told me to put these two verses up and then we're going to have communion. It wouldn't be difficult if we do what Romans 12:1-2 says. By the way, when he says these things, he's not saying these things so I can tell Dewey. He's saying these things so I can tell me. And then I'll tell you what he told me. I'll tell you why it's difficult. Romans 12:1-2. It wouldn't be difficult if we did this right here. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Amen. Is that another hard verse to read? Huh? Is that one you get when you read Daily Bread and you go, oh, yeah.
I read that out of Daily Bread. Now I'm going to work. And I ain't presenting my body to nobody but me.
But that's what it says. And do not be conformed to this world. Oh, now don't tell me we're not conformed to this world. Don't tell me we know every scene in Die Hard and Gladiator. Don't tell me we don't. Don't tell me I can't tell you what the record is of the Cincinnati Reds right now. Don't tell me, because I can. Don't tell me that I don't know that we're in a crisis in this country and that Title 42 came to an end and illegals are going to come in our city now. We saw buses of them come when we were coming into town yesterday. They were busing them into town yesterday. But I need to be not conformed to this world. I need to be transformed by the renewing of my mind that I may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Easier said than done. Easier said than done. The reason why it's so difficult here is because of the success of our nation in the past. We're not successful anymore. We're a joke. We're a joke. We're an absolute joke. We're the laughingstock of the world. Don't shout me down now just because I'm telling you real good, but it's because the success that we've had and the access to stuff that we have is why we are conformed to this world. Amen. If I could do one thing in my life, I wish there was some possible way I could get rid of that cell phone. Whew. I do. My mother, it's Mother's Day, she told me, she came back to the Lord, loved my sermons, listened to my sermons, was one of my biggest fans, and she's in heaven. God bless her heart. But she told me, she said, that phone's going to be the ruination of the world. She said, people are going to quit talking to each other. All right, we're going to have communion, and then Mary Knapp has requested prayer for healing, so we're going to pray for her. So let's start the song for communion, and Maria's going to come up and bring us our communion elements. Come on, praise him for just a minute. Praise the Lord. I have never taught any of us how to praise God proper. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Oh, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, and it teaches us to renounce ungodliness and worldly lust and to live righteously and soberly in this present age. 1 Corinthians 11:23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. On the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. Verse 24. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, let's say it, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. By the say this with me, by the stripes of Jesus, I have been healed. From the top of my head to the soles of my feet. I receive my healing. I receive my peace of mind. I receive what Jesus did for me. I recognize what his body represents. So that's why I receive it now. In Jesus' name. Amen. And when he had given thanks, verse 25. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant. Everybody say that. This cup is the
new covenant.
Say it again.
New covenant.
That's the biggest problem we got. Yep. We're not new covenant taught. We're not new covenant taught. We're not. We're not. God's wrath is not being poured out on people. The grace of God has been presented to all people. Amen. And the reason why we buy into these false doctrines is because we don't understand who God is and we don't understand what God did to us. I'm telling you, the early church, and I know what Al's talking about, the thing that we need to pray more for is for the Holy Spirit to give us revelation of who we are. We're not sinners saved by grace. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. That's what we need to sing. That's what we need to say. That's what we need to understand. Amen. Amen. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Say this. Say, dear God.
Dear God.
Or actually, say, Father.
Father.
Through the blood of Jesus.
You have cleansed me
from all unrighteousness. I'm your child.
Your spirit
lives in me.
And I have
an anointing from you
that teaches me
and shows me
who I am
and what I possess.
In Jesus' name.
I'm going to tell you, this counterfeit doctrine doesn't please God. Doesn't please Him. No faith in it. No real faith in it. No real courage in it. It takes courage to stick your tongue out at the rotten, stinking, lying devil. Amen. It takes courage. And we are courageous in Jesus' name. Lord, we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. We're just servants. We're children of God, but as ministers, we're just servants of the Most High God. And we just believe that there's people listening by radio and internet that'll believe what we've said and understand what we've said, and we ask the Holy Spirit to reveal it to them. If you have never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you're listening by radio or internet, say this simple prayer with me. Say,
Dear God,
I want to receive Jesus.
I believe
He is the Son of God.
I believe
He died for my sins, and He rose from the dead
for my justification.
By faith,
I say,
I am now
a child of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You guys are dismissed.